for such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon to the saints and servants of the Most High God. Shalom to you, hello to you, peace to you, good health to you, good prosperity to all of you. I'm glad to be with you this day as we continue talking about the spring Moedim, particularly Passover and unleavened bread, and we'll be talking about those some more today. We started on it last week, but we'll talk about it some more today. So I'm so glad that you have joined in with me today, and I hope that the Word of God will touch your heart and penetrate your mind and give you insight and give you hope and give you peace. And so we are going to continue with that today. I'd also like to point out that, you know, our congregation is still looking for a place to stay and a place to go, and we'll be glad to share with you. So if you hear this message and you're thinking that you need someone to help you with your finances and things like that, give us a call at Arrowhead Messianic Congregation and give me a call and let's talk about it. Maybe we can become partners or anyway, be able to share expenses and make it easier on everybody. So our owner of our retail center wants us out. He seemed to think he's going to make more money leasing to a business than it is a church, although we pay pretty high amounts for the church. All right, so we've been talking about the spring Moedim, Passover. I talked about Joseph and how that all came about and Jacob coming to Egypt and then a Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph and realizing that the Hebrews were multiplying and they were afraid that they were going to rise up against him. So that's when he had decided at that time that he was going to have every male child drowned in the river and work them harder so they don't multiply. And so this beginning of the time that Moses showed up on the scene as a child and God spared Moses, and then Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in and he was royalty, and then he finally fled to the land of Midian, where today the real Mount Sinai is located at. And there he heard the voice of God saying, "You go back and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." And so Moses went back, and through a series of miracles and plagues that God placed upon Pharaoh and Egypt, Pharaoh finally let Egypt, let the Hebrews go. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, we've been talking about that last plague, the one that's actually called Passover. And the reason it's called Passover is because the Lord commanded the Hebrews to take a lamb that was without blemish, you know, in other words, that wasn't lame, wasn't blind, did not have sores oozing out of it or anything like that. Could be any color, but that'd be a lamb of either a sheep or a goat, and they would offer it. And so they would get it into their household 4 days before it was time to kill it on Passover, on the 14th of Nisan. Now, you got to send a month of Nisan. Is the new year, and the Bible says, "This shall be the beginning of months for you," as the Bible says. So the month of Nisan in the spring is the beginning of the religious new year. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, what about Rosh Hashanah, the new year in the fall? Well, that's a civil new year that the rabbis came up with, but it's not the biblical new year that God set forth. It's in Nisan in the spring. Which makes a lot more sense. You know, if you're going to pick a day for a new year, why not have it in the spring when everything's renewed and everything's new and blooming? That makes a whole lot more sense. So on the 14th in the sun, they are to do this Passover. It says, and on the 10th in the sun, you are to take a lamb and bring it in your home, and you shall live with it for 4 days. and get attached to it. And well, the kids get to play with the little lamb and all those kind of things. Then on the 14th day of Nisan, you are to kill it. Now, this is very interesting because this is exactly what Yeshua did. On the 10th of Nisan, he came into Jerusalem, and there for 4 days he was questioned by the Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, and others to see if he was the Messiah. And he answered all kinds of questions. He turned over the tables of the money changers. He asked, you know, what we should give unto Caesar or not. All these things, you know, that took place when he came into Jerusalem, that he was slowly proving, not slowly, but he was proving that he was, in fact, the Messiah. So he also told his disciples, you know, to prepare the Passover supper, or Seder, as they would call it, the program. And that would have been on a Tuesday night. And I'll explain that here in a moment. But on a Tuesday night, they had their Last Supper. Now, remember the Bible, the new day begins in the evening. So when the sun went down on Tuesday evening, that begins Wednesday, but that was the 14th in Nisan. And so the 14th in Nisan began Passover that evening. So in a 24-hour period during the entire time of the day of Passover, again, I'll remind you that when I say day, it is not talking about daylight. It's talking about from evening to evening. That's the day. So in a 24-hour period, everything Yeshua is going to do occurred in that period, except for the resurrection. So in a 24-hour period, he had his Last Supper with his disciples. Judas was sent out of the group to go betray him. And then he went into the garden to pray, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I've been in that garden. It still exists today, the trees anyway, in the area. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. You got some really, really old olive trees still growing there. I don't know if they're the same ones that were there when Yeshua was there, because when the Ottoman Empire came in, they taxed everybody according to the trees they had. So everybody were cutting their trees down to ease off on the taxes. But a lot of times, the roots of those olive trees will continue. The olive tree in particular is a very interesting plant because, just like the Apostle Paul said, contrary to nature. Now, what did he mean by being contrary to nature? He is being contrary to nature because whenever you graft a fruit branch into another tree, that branch will produce that particular fruit. So in other words, let's say you graft a lemon branch into a grapefruit tree, that branch is going to produce lemons. If you graft an apple branch into an orange tree, that branch is going to produce apples. But contrary to nature, what Paul was talking about at Romans 11, 12, and 13 chapters, he was saying that if you graft a wild olive branch into a good olive tree, it's going to produce good olives. It doesn't produce wild olives. And the reason for that is, spiritually speaking, that when Gentiles believe in Yeshua, they are grafted in to this holy olive tree, and it will produce holy olives. And that's what he means by contrary to nature. So anyway, Yeshua came in, was questioned by all these people to try to find out if he was, in fact, the Messiah. And that's why with the Hebrews, where take this lamb in for 4 days and play with it and examine it and make sure there was nothing wrong with it. Then on the 14th of Nisan, they were to take this lamb they've been playing with for 4 days, and they were to kill it and take the blood and put it on the doorposts of their house. And it's the same thing that happened with Yeshua. On the 14th of Nisan, they had him crucified. So in that 24-hour period that I was talking about, Yeshua had the Last Supper. He went in the garden to pray. He was arrested. He came before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish authorities. He came before Pilate. He came before Herod. He came before all these people because they wanted to have him killed. And so they wanted to make sure it was according to the rules and laws. And so that evening, he was crucified, and he died before the sun went down. So in that 24-hour period, all these things happened to him in a 24-hour period. Then he was taken down from the cross at that time and buried, which would be that evening as the sun went down. And by the way, that would have been the 15th of Nisan, because the day starts when the sun goes down. So when the sun went down on the 15th of Nisan, that started the next Moedim. And if you don't know what I mean by Moedim, it means appointments. It is, King James translates it as feasts in Leviticus 23. The very next feast was the next day, and it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So Yeshua was buried on unleavened bread, or as the sun was going down. And then he rose 3 days later on the Feast of First Fruits, and we'll talk about that another time. So this is all what happened at the time. So all the people that were there thought that Yeshua was Messiah. They heard about all the great miracles that he had done, and they couldn't believe what had happened, that he had died. And they were very disappointed and disillusioned at that point. But this was all his plan all along. He had to die. Yeshua says, I lay my own life down. And so he had to die because he was the Passover lamb. He had to die. And that blood that he shed would give life to people who believed in him. And this is why they call it Passover, because the Lord says, if I see the blood on the door, I will pass over that house and not kill everybody in the house or the firstborn in that house. And so the blood is very important, and that's where you get the term Passover. When the Lord would come with his judgment against the Egyptians and anybody else, all the firstborn were going to be struck dead unless God saw the blood on the doorpost. And so that's what happened. That's why they call it Passover today, that the Lord passed over. And we're really thankful today that we appropriate the blood of the Messiah in our life, so that the blood, that because of him, we believe in him, the judgment of God will pass over us. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God did. So he would have died Wednesday night. Now, why is that a big deal? Because remember what Yeshua said? He's going to be like the sign of Jonah, 3 nights and 3 days in the tomb, as Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of a fish. You cannot get 3 days and 3 nights on a Friday night crucifixion. Oh, but Rabbi, it says that the Sabbath was at hand. Yes, indeed, the Sabbath was at hand. The Apostle John called it a high Sabbath. Now, what did he mean by high Sabbath? It was a different type of Sabbath other than a weekly Sabbath. And so what that means is that it was the first day of unleavened bread. We'll talk about that when I get into unleavened bread. But the first day of unleavened bread and the seventh day of unleavened bread are both Sabbath day. And as a matter of fact, the first day is called the preparation day. That's when they remove all the leaven out of their houses. So that was at hand. It's a very big day. Remember, Passover is not a Sabbath, but the first day of unleavened bread is. If Passover was a Sabbath, then all this activity taking place to get Yeshua crucified would not have been allowed. But the first day of unleavened bread was. And so they had to get him down from the cross at that time. And so then he was buried as the sun was going down. So 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb, then he rose up. You cannot get 3 days and 3 nights from a Friday burial. So it tells you right there, it was not Friday night. And the reason that was always, people always said Friday night, is because the scripture says, because the Sabbath was at hand. They just assumed it was a weekly Sabbath on a Friday night. But John called it a high Sabbath. It was a different Sabbath than everybody was used to. So in a 24-hour period, all these things took place. So Yeshua died on a Wednesday night, and he rose from the dead probably on a very late Saturday night, early morning Sunday. Because you've got to remember, when Mary came to the tomb, and the tomb was already empty and the soldiers were gone, everybody was gone. So she came at the break, before even the break of dawn, she came to the tomb, and he was already risen by then, so you knew it was late Saturday night or early, super early morning hours of Sunday at that time. So it's very important that you understand there are other Sabbaths right at hand here on unleavened bread, and that's why it was done. By the way, John 19:31 is the one that calls it a high Sabbath. It's not a weekly Sabbath. So the Hebrews were to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the side and upper doorposts of their house. And then they were to roast the lamb, and then they were required to eat all of it or burn the leftovers by morning. This was the actual commandment. Eat all of the lamb or burn the leftovers by morning. So in other words, you were to have enough people in your house to try to eat all of the lamb. So you invite enough family and friends over or whatever to be able to eat all of the lamb. But if you could not eat all the lamb, then you were to burn it before morning. So they were very busy this night when all these things were taking place. So it also tells us in Exodus 12:8 that we are to eat the lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. These are the three things that are needed to celebrate Passover, Exodus 12, verse 8, and Numbers 9, verse 11 and 12. Now, it's important to understand what these things mean. Unleavened bread represents sinlessness, and this is based off of 1 Corinthians 5, 7 through 8, and we'll read that. It says here, Apostle Paul wrote this and said, "Purge or cleanse out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul said that we are unleavened. It's the same thing when he would say, "You are the righteousness of God." That's saying the same kind of concept, the righteousness of God. So of all the scriptures that we're talking about today, that is probably the most important. You are unleavened, because that speaks volumes. What does it mean by when he says you are unleavened? It means God looks at you like you've never done anything wrong. God looks at you as though you are righteous. And so you are unleavened. It's completely cleansed, completely purged of all wickedness out. Now, don't get me wrong, you know, that even though he calls us that we are unleavened, it's not expedient for us to be sinning just because our sins are forgiven. But our sins are and forgiven. Why isn't it expedient for us, you know, whether our sins are forgiven or not? Because our rewards and position in the kingdom are still at stake. And they will be according to the life we led after we believed. So this is important stuff for all of us to understand. You know, when people think that, you know, they can just do whatever they want to do now because God, Yeshua, took all our sins. Well, for salvation, yes. But for position and rewards, no. So we are required to do righteous works. Yes, I said the word works. And so many churches today, they freak out over even the word works, like it's some kind of an evil word. We are called to do righteous works. And I'm not talking about dead works. I'm not talking about bad works. What kind of works am I talking about? I'm talking about the works that show forth loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Based off those two great commandments, the works that we do that are based off those two commandments are righteous works. And the Lord takes note of it. He logs it. He records it. And we come face to face with him. Those things will be brought forth. And our rewards and positions in the kingdom will be established based off those concepts. Now, all our works that were worthless don't mean anything, dead works. You know, you can't turn around and tell the Lord, "Well, Lord, I lit 200 candles for you today." That's dead works. That will mean nothing to him. So the Lord don't care about your candles. The Lord don't care how many candles you light. He wants to know if you love him. And like Yeshua said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Do you love the Lord your God? These are very important concepts. And so, as a result, You know, what he did on that cross is he destroyed our sins to be remembered no more. Now, when I say remembered no more, that doesn't mean it won't be brought up again during the Bema Seat of the Messiah in 2 Corinthians. Everything that we've ever did or said will be brought forth to determine rewards and position in the kingdom. But, you know, you say, well, I don't want to be reminded about all those things. Well, you will be reminded about them, because more than likely you have forgotten most of them. And the second thing is you don't know the consequences of the things you did, good or bad. You know, all of us have done good and bad things, and sometimes we're not even aware of what the repercussions of what we did. And so we're going to be reminded of it. We're going to see the fruits of the repercussions. So all these things will determine our rewards and our positions in the kingdom of God. Remember, I've said this before, I'll say it again. There's a difference between kingdom principles and salvation principles. Very important to understand those concepts. And so all of this is going to be revealed. So yes, we are unleavened. And if he made us unleavened, then we need to walk in righteousness. We need to be grateful in what he did for us and walk in righteousness. And I see this all the time with people, you know, I believe, but they're not born again. They really don't have a love for God. And so they try to do things they think would be pleasing in their own sight toward God. That will not work. You want to please God? Do the things he said you have to do. You have to do those things. So it's important for us to understand that the concept here is, we are called unleavened. Yeshua made us unleavened. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that he did, that God did with his son, Yeshua. He took our sins on the cross that we might have life and have life abundantly. And so we can walk in that understanding. We can walk in that confidence and know that he took our sins away, which means that we can boldly come before God now, and we're not going to be facing eternal judgments. And so we can boldly come before him because of what Yeshua did. But what we did on this earth in this life after we believed will have consequences to positions and rewards in the kingdom. This is why it talks about in the book of Revelation, the seven churches. If you overcome, this is what he'll do for you. And so these are important concepts that are not taught very often in churches, but it is an important concept you need to grab a hold of and understand. You want to walk in the glory and the admonition of the Lord in righteousness. And if you don't know what righteousness is, then you need to study the Word of God. You need to study his commandments. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit so it will talk to you. You need all these things, because the Lord passed over us because of the blood. And this is important for us to understand, that he passes over us with his judgment, the judgment we deserve. But because he sees the blood, as soon as we say, I believe in you, Yeshua, we're appropriated by the blood, and then judgment of God will pass over us because he, quote, sees the blood. What a marvelous plan that God put together. He sees that blood, and he will pass over us. We don't want him to not pass over us. This is kind of scary if he does not. So walk in the Lord. Walk in the admonition of the Lord, and you have a happy Passover. You have a happy Easter. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.